This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We are in Leviticus chapter 8, and there is so much to deal with as far as the anointing of Aaron and consecration of Aaron and his sons into the priesthood. And so it's a pretty long chapter, probably spend several few days on with us. But that being said, it is a wonderful picture on anointing a line of priests, an order of priests, and that's one of the words that we use, is the order of Aaron, or the priesthood of Aaron. And that priesthood was passed down a family line. It was passed down a family line from generation to generation. In fact, that family line has still got remnants of it here today on the earth. There are Jews that come from the line of Aaron, and that is still there and it's still operating. It's an important order, and the anointing of the high priest is something that I think deserves a whole lot of insight, deserves a whole lot of investigation, looking at, considering, and for all kinds of reasons. And that's why I say there's a whole lot to talk about. The priesthood that Aaron was in, that Aaron was the beginning of, is an important order. Interestingly, you can draw, as far as how they were consecrated and set into that office, you can draw a lot of insights as far as the priesthood that we're a part of, and you can learn a lot about how God saw the priesthood, and what that means for you personally. And you go, what priesthood are we a member of? We're a member of the priesthood that Jesus is a member of. And in the book of Hebrews, which we're studying our January Bible study, the book of Hebrews that explains that priesthood is Jesus comes in the early of Melchizedek, and he's in Genesis, and I have a Bible study on that. If you want to flip back through and find that Bible study in the book of Genesis, Melchizedek's priesthood is the priesthood that Jesus comes in, and it's an eternal priesthood, the Bible says. It is, and not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament. And so that priesthood is the one that we're a part of. Now, you go, well, we're in a different priesthood, so we don't need to. No, that's not how it works. Just because we're in a different, does not mean that the office and the position and how that position functions really changes, because it doesn't. How we approach God and what we're to do in that priesthood is very important. Now, they consecrate Aaron and his sons. The priesthoods, when they're set, put in place the orders, they're to be passed down. They're to keep going on. And they're not to have an end to them. And when Aaron was made high priest, the order of priest under Aaron was supposed to last for a long time, and by the way, it did. It lasted only until the time of Jesus. More than a millennia later, you have priests that are in the line of Aaron. And then that priesthood, like I said, they're still the lineage of Aaron in the world today. And so it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as the sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather the whole congregation together at the door of the tabernacle. Easy for me to say, the tabernacle of meeting. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was gathered together to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord has commanded to be done. Now, notice, as in the last two chapters, this is a commandment. This is where God said, this is what should be done. Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water, and he put the tunic on them and girded them with the sash, clothed them with the robe, and put the ephod on them, and he girded them with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with the ephod, and with that he tied the ephod on them. And what you have here is a picture. Now, you just don't really know what to how to think what that looked like. Well, interestingly, in the last few years, I've watched a movie, and the movie's called The King, and it's about King Henry, I think the Eighth, and his being anointed king and coming into his position as king because his brother is not able to take the throne. His father dies. And the truth is, King Henry he's the one that should take the line because he's the oldest son, but his youngest brother gets killed, and he's the pick of his father. And King Henry, the reason he was not supposed to be king was because he was rebellious. He didn't want to be king. He didn't desire to be king. He had fallen out with his father. He had given himself over to riotous living. It's really, once you study his life, you realize it's a picture of a prodigal son. And then all of a sudden, it's time for him to be king, and the nation needs him, and he just totally changes his life. He just totally has a life-changing experience that revolves around him becoming the king. And the reason I brought that up is because there's actually a depiction of him being anointed and placed into the position of king. And the way it starts out is he is on his knees on the floor with just something covering his bottom half. And he doesn't have any clothing on in the upper part, and he's got his arms outstretched, and they are anointing him king, just like in this position. And the reason I bring that up is because it's a perfect picture of us. And really, that's what happens here. The Lord said to Moses, saying to Aaron, take Aaron and his sons with him. All right, so you got the priesthood, the lineage, and the garments. Those were the clothing that the priests were supposed to wear. That's a picture. All those, and we've gone through those in detail. All those pictures are a picture of the raiment that a priest is supposed to wear. All of them have symbology to the things that we were to do as priests, a covering of sin that God has provided to us, the tie back to his word as far as the ephod's concerned, and his plan that is an eternal plan. And then it says, take from the anointing oil. And so we have the power, the resonant power of God that's going to be involved in this, the power of God to take a prodigal like King Henry, a prodigal like us, someone who is lost and dying, and then God redeems them out of that death, and a bull as the sin offering. You remember, I've always told you, bulls, ox, cattle, basically, is a picture of our flesh. So they're going to take the bull as a sin offering and a basket of unleavened bread, which is the word of God. And it's a picture of the word of God. It's a fellowship offering, but it is the picture of the word of God. And gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Notice, this is a public event. This is something that's going to be done out in the public so that everybody can see it, so that there's an order of Melchizedek. And it's not a direct similarity, but it has a lot of similarities to a public baptism. It is a public anointing in power of what God wants to do. And so you have all the pictures, all the indications of God's hand were taking someone who really doesn't deserve to be, when I say really, they don't deserve to be, able to have a relationship with God, able to be a priest. Aaron really messed up. He didn't shut down the rebellion that was taking place when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments and the golden calf. In fact, he engaged in helping them make that golden calf. That would tend to indicate, in our modern way of thinking, that would disqualify him from the priesthood, but it wouldn't disqualify him. Why? Because if disqualification from the priesthood was based off of your perfection prior to the priesthood, nobody would be a priest. Do you hear that? If your qualification for being in the priesthood required perfection before you were in the priesthood, you would never be a priest. There would not be one. And so his qualifications have nothing to do with it. God's anointing and God's purposes is what is important. It's what's important to understand. And he said, take Aaron and his sons and the garments, that's the covering of sin, and the anointing oil, that's the power of God, and the bull, which is a sin offering, a picture of offering your sin for flesh, and the two rams, that's a picture for the sons. He's got a bull for the father, two rams for the son, and a basket of unleavened bread, which means the word, the revelation of God, the understanding of God's will and God's plan. Take all of them and meet the congregation at the door of the tabernacle. All y'all look together. We're going to show you, we're going to give you a clear picture of God's anointing power for those he is going to use to be a part of his kingdom work. So Moses did as the Lord commanded. And we pass by that so many times and we just don't comment on it. But it is important to think about it. Moses did what God said. That's why he is today Moses. There are so many people out there that God has so much he wants to do through. And he wants to make their name that he has given them, that the name of that is under his name. He wants to make their name known. He wants to make you and who the light of the world. And the only thing keeping you from that is obedience to the will of God. And he said, and the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord has commanded to be done. What is he saying? We're going to do what God says. As a pastor, so many times we're dealing with everything and we're going through life just like any other person. And then we're also dealing with a lot of spiritual issues of other people. And it can make you very tired. It can make you very worn out. It can make you very alone. Yesterday was Columbus Day and my office was closed. The courthouse was closed. Most government offices were closed. And my wife asked me, I actually did go spend an hour or two with my granddaughter, but other than that, I just walked around the house. And she said, did you call anybody, talk to anybody? And I did talk to a few folks on the phone, but she said, did you go see anybody, talk to anybody? And the answer was no. Why? I didn't want to. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I wanted to be alone. And so a lot of times that's what happens when you're in the position of being a shepherd of a flock of people. But that being said, sometimes I don't feel like doing what God has instructed us to do in the church. I don't feel like doing those things. And by the way, if you feel that way sometimes, it's understandable. That happens. That doesn't mean that I don't do it. You have to remember, even when all my flesh says I don't feel like it, that doesn't mean that my spirit's not saying do it. And when the Spirit of God, along with my new human spirit, which he's given me, when the Spirit of God, my spirit, urge me to do God's will, then like Moses, we need to do God's will. We need to do as the Lord has commanded. So Moses bare Aaron and his sons, verse 6, and washed them with water. So that's the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, the washing of the world away. And he put on the tunic on him, meaning the covering of sin. And he gave him the sash and clothed him with the robe. And he put all the different aspects of the garment on him. And he prepared him for being the high priest. He put him in a position to be the high priest. And so we're studying and thinking through this. There's an element of obedience here. There's an element of commonality here, meaning this is something that we should study because it is common to all believers that we are a royal priesthood. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 2. It's spoken of by Paul. It's spoken of by John, that we are a royal priesthood. And those things are important to understand that when we read Aaron and him being anointed as the head of the order of his priesthood, that we have a priesthood and we have a head of that priesthood who is Jesus. And his order is very similar to Aaron, except his order is an eternal order. And when we study this anointing, this preparation of God for our lives and our priesthood, that we need to take on these things and see the power of Moses, who is Aaron's brother, Moses doing what God has commanded. He is taking on the role as the leader of God's people, or more importantly, when we get down the road, the king, the sovereign over his people. But Aaron is taking on a very important role, and that's the priesthood. And by the way, we're a kingdom of priests, which means we have royalty, in that the leader of our order is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are a priesthood, meaning we have direct access to the throne room of heaven, to the altar of God, to do the ministry of the kingdom of God in the world that we live in. By the way, we're also prophets because we speak God's word. And we have all three offices, and we have a function to uphold. We have a function to work out in our lives in all three offices, prophet, priest, and king, because Jesus was the prophet, that was spoken of about Moses. He was the King of Kings, the coming King, the once and future King. Jesus, he is the King of Kings, and he is our great high priest. He is the one who makes intercession for us with the Father in heaven, even as we speak right now. And so we're not missing out, and we're not lacking anything, but we have his very best available to us each and every day. And we need to understand that just as Henry was a prodigal, just as Aaron was a prodigal, so we are a prodigal, and God has made us a royal priesthood anyway. You know why? Because his grace is sufficient for us. And so I would say to you today that you need to realize all the positions God has made for you. You need to begin to walk in those positions and do as the Lord has commanded, as Moses said he did. And when we do that, we have all God's best.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.